Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Terry Thorne delivers the message entitled, One Vine, Many Branches. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our first scripture lesson today comes from the first letter of John, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 7. Hear now God's word for God's people. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness for the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached the perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. Those who say, I love God and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from Him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus says, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for your word and for the way that it comes to us anew every time we enter it. And we pray that as we spend time reading and singing and proclaiming the good news of your love, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our lives to receive your love, to be transformed by your love, and to be willing to then share your love with each other and the world. We pray this in the name of Christ, who is the source of love for us. Amen. So, growing up, you could not pay me enough to eat pork chops, Brussels sprouts, or beets. Now, I will gladly pay good money for a dinner of a grilled pork chop, roasted Brussels sprouts, and a beet salad with goat cheese and pecans. In fact, those are my favorites. Clearly, something has happened over the years. I suppose my willingness to try new things has expanded, and my palate has finally matured, but mostly I discovered that there are much better ways to prepare those foods than the way they were cooked in my family, where the pork chops were always fried, the sprouts were boiled, and honestly, I'm not really sure what was happening with the beets back then. All I can say is that, thankfully, eating these foods now, as an adult, is a completely different experience than when I was a child. Same is true for interpreting Scripture, especially passages like this. When I was younger, and truthfully for a big part of my life, I could only hear these eight verses that I just read as a threat. Bear fruit, which in my mind meant do good things, or else die. Now, whether that was the intended message of my childhood formation or not, that is what I heard, which was unfortunate on many levels. In fact, for a long while, I wasn't even sure I wanted to be a branch. I mean, what if God just arbitrarily decided that I wasn't bearing enough fruit and chose to cut me off and throw me to burn in some place called hell? At best, that is an unsettling and warped thought, which paints God as way more harsh than loving. But in reality, it caused me to live in fear for decades that at any moment God could change God's mind about loving me based on what I did or did not do. Talk about a legalistic theology. Thankfully, though, through the years, my theology matured. And so did my approach to biblical scholarship. And as such, I've come to appreciate this passage and the beautiful imagery that it holds. And the key word here is imagery. It's poetic, it's metaphoric, it is not meant to be a one-to-one analogy, and it's also not meant to be scary. This was never a warning about some end-time judgment. It is an expression of the relational manner in which God's faithful love, embodied in Christ, is revealed to the world through what we call the church, which Jesus portrays as a bunch of nondescript grapevine branches. Furthermore, in this metaphor, the branches did not have to do anything other than stay connected to the source, where they would receive all the love they would need in order to bring love to the world. So, contrary to all my previous understandings and fears, this metaphor truly is an expression of hope and encouragement to the branches, then and now. Then, being when Jesus originally spoke these words, which is just after the Passover meal, right before he's arrested, before the church was officially a thing. Jesus understood that these disciples that he was gathered with, they were going to eventually become filled with fear and uncertainty about their future. And under distress, they would face a temptation to hide or deny or disperse. So Jesus uses this comforting metaphor to remind them that as the branches, the ones already cleansed by his word, God will now use them, not Jesus, to bear the fruit he had lived out. The fruit of love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness and welcome that we see in Jesus' life. So Jesus reassures the disciple that if they abided, remained close to him, remained in his love, and trusted the master vine grower, that they themselves would become the means by which more people would come to know the love of God for themselves. And the now, here we sit, 21st century Jesus followers, in dire need of the very same encouragement and hope. Now, it's not so much that the church fears being without Jesus or that we might face persecution, at least not in North America. We do, however, fear irrelevance. We fear loss of power or purpose, position, and maybe even death. Because it is no secret that the institution that we call church has become less meaningful in people's lives in recent decades. At the same time, poll after poll will tell you that an increasing number of folks boldly claim that organized religion of any form is neither important nor necessary nor meaningful to them. But despite this epidemic of loneliness and fear, despite the pervasive and desperate need that people have to experience love and to find hope and receive acceptance, despite the screaming and violent pleas for peace of heart, mind, and spirit that are all around us, the influence and relevance of the church as we currently know it is in a free fall. Some would even go as far as to say it's dying. Make no mistake. God, the vine master, is not irrelevant. Jesus, the true vine, is not irrelevant. And the abiding universal church of Jesus Christ is not dying. However, the branches appear to be in for some major pruning. You see, ultimately, in grapevine growing, a master vine grower will do whatever it takes to get the best fruit from their vines. They are meticulous and ruthless about the condition of every single branch on the vine in order to get the best and most fruit possible. The better the quality, the greater the value. The same is true of God. God also wants the best fruit of the vine. The love and humility and compassion of Christ, the best fruit to be revealed through his abiding branches, so that the whole world will come to know that we are loved. God always wants this. And as the master vine grower, God will always do the work to make sure it happens. and work it is. Coaxing the best fruit out of a vine, out of the vine branches, is not an easy task. For one thing, folks, there's no such thing as a single branch on a vine. The branches are woven together and are connected to one another. And in fact, branches of all ages and shapes and sizes on a grapevine will twist and turn and intermingle into what the untrained eye might call a tangled mess. Perhaps not all unlike what outsiders might say about Christian churches. Only the master of the vineyard can see how all the different branches fit together. And best fruit does not happen overnight. It takes time. Under the scrutiny and supervision of the vine master, the branches are shaped and pruned in a very specific way, with an exact timing according to a plan, in order to bear the most, best, and sweetest grapes. Branches that are lifeless and unproductive must be intentionally removed so they'll not consume the precious energy of the vine. On the other side, new growth branches are pruned back for 3 years or more so that they will eventually mature into full producers. Now, all of this is counterintuitive. A harshly pruned vine is stark and ugly. It's hard to imagine that any fruit will ever emerge. Yet that aggressive trimming is essential to eventually harvest the best. And finally, to consistently produce best fruit requires discipline and tough choices along the way. There's a huge price to pay when grapevine branches are not carefully tended in the vineyard. Unpruned, the branches will eventually grow out of control and they will stop bearing fruit altogether. So you all do see where I'm going with this analogy, right? We, the church, are the branches. And if we are to bear the best fruit of Christ to the world, pruning and trimming is inevitable. It is not a question of whether there will be pruning. It's a matter of when, where, and how much, both personally and collectively. In fact, God has been changing the shape of the church for centuries. In the same way that old vines, centuries old vines, there are vines hundreds of years old that are still being pruned and still producing the best grapes even now, but they look nothing like they did when they were originally planted. So too is it with the Christian church. Across generations, across centuries, God has proven faithful in his love for the church in all her forms, providing the caretaking needed for survival, pruning with the sole purpose of bringing out the best of Christ within each of us, within each and all of the branches, so that together we would reveal Christ's best to others. But let's be real. It's no secret either that the church universal has not always cooperated with God's shaping. We have not trusted that we are in God's good hands. In fear of losing control or significance, we have resisted change. In arrogance, we have ignored the changing world around us. And in pride, we have clung to our own understanding. Churches have lamented loss, longed for legacy, and let ego and fear split us apart. Rather than recognize that we were being pruned of the things that were getting in the way of our abiding, or those that hindered our ability to produce the fruit of Christ's love and grace for the world. At times, the church has missed the good news that God was reshaping her to be to better thrive in a particular social climate or surroundings. Yeah, being reshaped by God is painful. But yeah, it's always good news. Pruning is not our punishment. It's not to be feared. Holy pruning, pruning led by the Holy Spirit, is what makes the faith community more fruitful in our one and only core fundamental mission to reveal Christ to the world through the fruit of God's love that emerges from within us. Pruning is a natural consequence of abiding in Christ, the true vine. I would go as far to say, as your life isn't pruned in some way, you better look again whether you're abiding in Christ. It grows. Pruning is what grows us and matures us into our best selves, revealing Christ within each of us and bearing God's best to the world. Now, granted, it's challenging and unnerving, but ultimately, God's pruning is the means to our glory-revealing relevance in the world. It allows the church to be the church we are created to be. So I'm wondering, what do you suppose it's going to take for the 21st century post-COVID Christian church, we're not talking denominations, church as a whole, to embrace God's inevitable pruning, even though it's uncomfortable at times, even though we'd rather not? I mean, think about it. Imagine how the world might be different if Christian churches all around the world were less focused on our activities and our doing and more about being the best presence of Christ's love in the world. I wonder, as we begin the process of completing a mission study for Tabernacle Church, what would it be like for us, for the sake of becoming a more fruitful branch, to live into or lean into the pruning that God intends for this moment in our history? And my next sentence is the hardest for me to say in this sermon. Folks, God is going to prune this branch. It's inevitable. In fact, I have the sense that God is already at work in us, individually and collectively, cutting and redirecting and trimming to remove the things that hinder our ability to abide in Christ or do not reveal the best fruit of Christ's love and compassion, mercy, and justice. I wonder, do you think we will embrace the opportunity for new growth or cling to the old and risk dying on the vine? As the Holy Spirit nudges, I wonder if we're willing to let go of ideas and positions and expectations and habits that might be keeping us from seeing and hearing the people on the margins or bearing the best fruit of God's love to them. I wonder about current programming or our own personal preferences. Do you think we will allow God to remove any of them in order to make room for something better, that better prepares us to be a responsive church for the future? I wonder, Are we ready and willing to endure the discomfort of change to become a congregation that lives in a way that attracts others to Christ and into his body? It sounds scary. I know that. Changes make me tremble, sometimes with fear, but sometimes with joy. Friends, here's the good news. God is faithful. God has always been faithful to the church. And for more than 170 years, God has been faithful to the congregation of TAB. We can absolutely trust that God will prove faithful once again. No one loves the church or you or me or the person sitting next to you more than God. There is no one who loves TAB more than God. So I invite us to lean into this uncertain time, trusting God and trusting each other's as branches of the vine. Focus not on how do we best preserve, but instead, how do we best bear the fruit of our vine, Jesus Christ, to the world? Rest assured, we are beloved abiding branches, and God's greatest desire is to shape us into our best selves so that together we will reveal Christ to a world that desperately needs to experience, not just hear about, but experience the very best fruit of Christ, which is always his unconditional, welcoming, merciful, and just love. May it be so.
You're listening to Sunday with TAB, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, TAB Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with TAB.